My name is Winfrey, and it's Monday night, and we're doing our Monday night edition of our conference line. And sorry, we're a little bit late. We're actually having technical difficulties in getting it all to connect. So, right now, I'm a little bit behind in checking everybody in. For those of you that are listening on BBS Radio for the first time, what we do here is we're having a simulcast. We have a conference line that I have been organizing for the past over a year now on the telephone. And we do this conference line every night of the week. And on Mondays, we broadcast it live on BBS. And the purpose of this is to be able to create a reference point of what I call interdimensional energy for everyone listening. So while you're listening, you can consider the possibility that we're communicating on many, many different levels. And one of those levels, of course, is your ears to your brain, to your mind, that are going to be listening to information and considering the information, and your mind is going to be looking at it. And simultaneously, there is a communication that many of the people notice that are on this line that is not in your brain and not in your mind, but is what I call multi or interdimensional energy. And, of course, many of us have the idea that there's something beyond physical existence. But very few of us have been able to prove it without a doubt to ourselves. And we hope on this line that there will be some indications that if you kick the tires over a period of time, you might get a direct experience that it's real. Not only is it real, but there's energies that on the other side of what we could call the veil that want to communicate with you, want to connect with you, want to support you, and that there's a lot of guidance on this line as to how to make that connection. Somebody sent me an interesting email recently, which is reminds me a bit of what we're doing on this line. And it's called The Conversation of the Unborn Twins. And I thought I'd read it to start this off. An unborn couple of twins' conversation in the womb of their mother. Twin one, say, do you actually believe in life after birth? The twin asks. Twin two, yes, definitely. Inside we grow and are prepared for what will come outside, answered the other twin. Twin one, I believe that's nonsense, says the first. There can't be life after birth. What is that supposed to look like? Twin two, I don't know exactly either, but there will certainly be much more light than in here, and maybe we'll be walking about and eat with our mouths. Twin one, I've never heard such nonsense. Eating with the mouth, what a crazy idea. There is the umbilical cord that nourishes us. And how do you want to walk about? The umbilical cord is much too short. Twin two, I am sure it is possible. It's just that everything will be a little different. Twin one, you are crazy. Nobody ever comes back after birth. Life is over after birth. That's it. Twin two, I admit that nobody knows what life after birth will look like. But I do know that we will see our mother then and that she will take care of us. Twin one, mother? You don't believe in a mother, do you? Where is she? Twin two, she is here all around us. We are and we live within her and through her. Without her, we couldn't exist at all. Twin one, nonsense. I've never sensed a mother. Consequently, she doesn't exist. Twin two, yes, sometimes when we are very quiet, you can hear her sing or feel how she caresses our world. And so I believe that kind of sums up the challenge of life on this planet. Of course, in our terms, we're here after birth, and now the question is there life after death? Is there nourishment that we're getting right now? Is it possible to receive that nourishment? And where does it come from? How do we know it's real? How can we validate it for ourselves? And that is the challenge of this conference line, creating the circumstances where we can actually validate and learn about how the interaction between where we are right now and the part of us that exists in the invisible realms. Now, of course, if you were twin number one, you'd be saying, how do I know I exist in the invisible realms? I can't see them. They're invisible. And then if you're probably a religious person, you'd have to say, you have to have faith. They're there. Well, I don't believe that faith is maybe a good starting point to look for something, but it's certainly not an end result, because if you're looking for it and you have faith that it's there, maybe you'll find it. But if you don't find it and you just have faith, you haven't completed the whole exercise on this planet, because it is possible to find it. And maybe it's not something you're going to see directly, but it is something that you can, if you study the laboratory of your own life and you look for the signs, you'll start to get the interrelationship between this realm and the dimensions of yourself that are invisible. And you notice I didn't just say the dimensions that are invisible. I said the dimensions of yourself, because you exist in those dimensions as well as here, but they're invisible to you. There's part of you, it would be as if a flower that grows and the roots are invisible, and yet we know the roots exist. Well, we all grow from the invisible part of ourself, which comes and manifests the body, and then we're in the body, and we no longer can directly perceive the part that grew us. And these are the areas that we explore on this conference line. One of the reasons that I have come to do this call is because I've had the unusual experience of having ongoing conversations with those parts that are invisible in the other realms, and I've gone back and forth cross-referencing things they would say, things that are down here. And of course, anyone that says they're having conversations with invisible worlds deserves to have their tires kicked, deserves to be scrutinized extremely carefully. And so I tell you, I don't expect anyone to believe any of this on faith, because I say so. I say you can have enough faith to kick the tires, i.e., study the websites. The websites are, we have two websites up which have a lot of information about this. One of them is theinsidescoop.org, theinsidescoop.org, and the other is higher-vision.org. And within those two websites, you'll hear the story of what happened to me, which I've told many, many times on this line, so I'm not going to go over it again tonight. But if you're the least bit curious if what I'm doing has any validity, and then take your curiosity and please study those websites. And also, you might go and read the book that I co-authored with David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Now, I'm going to take a moment, because normally, we check in before the line starts, and I know who's on the line, but I didn't get a chance to do that. And what we're doing on this line is we are creating, or attempting to create, what I call a group consciousness. Now, a group consciousness actually has to involve the parts of you which are invisible, because we're not putting our bodies together. Our bodies are spread all over the United States, and in certain circumstances, we have people checking in from other countries. So our bodies are separate, but our consciousnesses can come together. And for our consciousnesses to come together, each of us has to be able to access the invisible part of ourselves, or at least intend to control it. Part of this invisible area that we're talking about, we don't see, but we can perhaps manipulate it is the right word. It's kind of like it's there, and the guidance system to manipulate it is your intention. If you intend to manipulate it, not all the time, but oftentimes, it will respond to your intent. And so this is an experiment of intention, of manipulating the part of us that's invisible. Now, when we do this manipulation, we want it to be for the highest good of all concerned. We're dealing with something that has a huge amount of power and a huge amount of ability to manifest into the world. Things that manifest into the world start from this invisible part of us. And it starts in the invisible, then it manifests. And if you learn to do this, you start to be able to create things in a far more magical way than what we call the sweat of the brow, where you have to do everything in the physical. And then you find that your creations in the world actually become co-creations, that other people, like you guys, are meeting each other in the invisible parts of yourself, creating intentions, and suddenly there's a far more powerful force than we have by ourselves in doing that. When we come together and we create intentions that penetrate through the veil to the other side of us, we call it a group intention, and if we're operating on the principle of the highest good of all concerned, which means that we wouldn't want anything to happen if there were losers, if we could only create winning circumstances, and since we as humans can't completely know the implications of our intentions into these other realms, then we add for the highest good of all concerned so that we don't have a miscreation, so to speak, or something that we ask for something, but we don't understand the implications if that request is granted. And so thereby we give it up to our, what you could call, your higher self, which is kind of a mediator of your energy in these invisible realms, and let it decide if it's for the highest good, because it's in a much better position to do that than we are from our conscious minds. So I'm going to unmute everybody, and hopefully, when I say I'm unmuting everybody, again, I'm repeating, we're on a conference call on the telephone simultaneously with being on the Internet on BBS Radio. And normally, we greet everybody on the phone line before the call starts. But I was just driving in to Sedona, and we got here with minutes to spare, and I didn't get a chance to do that. So we do have people all over the United States, and who knows where. We have Debbie in Los Angeles. We have Ed and Dana in Shelton, Washington. We have Wayne in South Carolina, I believe.
Right.
We probably have Suzanne in Arizona. Suzanne, are you there?
I sure yeah. am.
Yeah, okay. I've got the names right. Wayne.
Okay, who else is there, Wayne, on the line?
Mary Jo.
Okay.
Robert.
Okay.
Gary and Mary Ann.
Okay.
Diane.
Okay.
Jesse. San Diego.
Okay.
John in New
okay.
Jersey.
To send okay. your message with North...
And Carol.
In Ohio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Carol. And who else?
That's all I have, but there were some beeps that came in.
Okay.
Did anybody
come in while I was talking? Would like to say their name and their city?
I'm Dean in Palo Alto, California.
I'm Dean in Palo Alto. Anyone else? Going once? Now, sometimes people hear about our line, and they just listen, so they try to figure out what's going on. So if we have some people that are listening, that's fine. I don't usually put people on the spot during these calls, but I won't say it's beyond me. But, you know, the most important part of the participation here is on the inner levels, not on the outer levels. But sometimes by saying your name and your city, it helps anchor the energy between, you know, what's going on outside of you and what's going on inside you. Now, the big premise here, I'm going to mute everybody so we don't have all the background noises. The big premise is that what's on the outside of you is also part of you. Now, in the physical realm, that's a, a hard one to validate. Because, obviously, we're different bodies, different places, and I'm not your body in the physical realm. But, on the inner planes, in the invisible parts of ourselves, where we don't have bodies, but we exist, but we can't see our existence, the premise is that we are part of each other to the extent that we can experience that. To say it and not experience it means you're still on a learning curve. And to experience it, when you're in a body, when you start to experience that you're part of other people, you now have the quality of compassion. And you can't help but have it, because everyone you meet, the inner part of you recognizes the inner part of them, and automatically there's kind of an eye contact, and you and they are now one. You experience no energy blocks. You know, the eyes, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. And so, did you ever look in an animal's eye or a dog's eye that loved you and feel the connection? Well, that's an example that on the invisible levels, you and that other, I shouldn't say dog here because we're talking about people, but sometimes it's hard for people to experience this because we veil each other in one way or another with our minds, and we contract, and then when we look at people, we don't see into them or allow them to see into us. There's a fear of being hurt. We've all been hurt. And that's valid if you're in that place. It takes a certain amount of getting comfortable with yourself to really be able to have this experience. Now, on the telephone line here, in a sense, is a certain safety in it because, well, bodies are so separate. So we can actually commune with the parts of ourselves that are in the invisible realms and feel the energy of it. You know, as I say that, one of the things that happens is if you're tracking this, is an experience that's actually happening. And you can feel a shifting of your energy if you're open to it. And you can feel the vibration in your space change. And what we're doing is we are anchoring our energies with each other in these invisible realms. And let me say, that's my premise, that that's what's happening. And then in your own physical space, you feel a shift. You feel a change. And for every person, it's going to be different. Some people are going to feel just a peaceful feeling. Some people have come into this line, and when you checked in, you were filled with a certain kind of anxiety or anticipation. Or maybe there were hurts of the day or whatever. And as this line goes on, while you're on this line, something happens. It's kind of like things melt away, and suddenly you're not feeling those things anymore. And I remember years ago when I would go into a spiritual group and I first had this experience that I'm describing to you, where I could feel things melt away in the presence of a spiritual energy. I would remember that before I would go and attend the event, I would have a huge amount of resistance to attending. And sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I would just stay home. And part of my resistance was looking at myself in that moment before I actually walked out the door to go somewhere and feeling that, God, I'm feeling very funky today. I don't want anyone to see me looking like this. Tonight it's not going to happen, even though it's happened before. And I would let that stop me from going. I'm sure I would suspect many of you probably have had that experience where you've had something that has worked in the past, and yet at the very moment in the future when you make the decision to move towards it, you stop and you don't do it. And because you don't believe the shift is going to happen inside of yourself. So the people that have been on this conference line have actually got, I think, the people who have checked in very regularly have learned that it's, and we've learned together because I'm learning. When I started this conference line, I had no idea what would happen and how this would work. I just knew that I was talking in this process called channeling to these really wise beings that called themselves group souls. And even the idea of a group soul was something new for me. And if you happen to be listening and you're new to this line, it's probably new for you also. But, I checked it out. I had to check it out and investigate it and see, how do I know they are who they say they are? And I think that is the appropriate way for anyone to investigate anything, including everything I'm saying. How do you know that this is the way, this is happening the way I'm saying it? You may feel that change of energy in your space, but you still don't know why you're feeling it. I'm suggesting a reason that I've come to that I believe is the way it works. And when you have this experience, I would definitely suggest that you don't believe me as to the reason why it's happening. Do your own investigation. Do your own reading of the material. And see how it resonates as a whole gestalt of truth in concerning that experience. Because when you're talking about things that are in the invisible realms, since they're invisible, since we can't see them, it's like you have to determine that they're there by constantly looking at the effects that happen in one's life. And once you start to want to make these connections, then you have to, first of all, ask for it. You have to be open to it. But before you ask for it, you have to make sure it's positive, that it's not something to be scared of, that it's something that you actually want. So we have to give you enough information, I do, to say, for you to decide, yes, I'm open to that experience. Because otherwise, who knows what you're opening to? And you can't believe who I am until you look at me over a period of time and look at it and feel it. And maybe this is not something that will work for you, and that's fine, and then go somewhere else. In my own watching of it over a long period of time, I see that we've created on this conference line a very powerful tool that can help you stay, lift yourself out of the lower levels of what we call the physical reality we're in and live in a higher state of awareness, of compassion, of connectivity, so that what happens in the physical world no longer has such dramatic impact on you. Whereas when you're living in the physical world and responding to it on an emotional level, on an intellectual level, and you don't have this added energy attached to yourself, this transcendent energy, we could call it, life can be scary. Life can be tough. You know, everybody's competing. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And without this energy, it's very easy for life to be in that kind of experience. And then, of course, it gets painful. And then what happens is we start to convolute the part of ourselves that's in the invisible realm. We convolute it because we compress it. We're part of the creation of it. And down here, what we do down here has a huge impact on these invisible parts of ourselves. And most people are not aware of this. They're not aware of how they're creating that part of themselves or recreating it every moment of their life. Every moment by what they think, who they talk to, what they say, and perhaps by what you could call their past track, or all the memories of all the things that have happened in this life and other lifetimes that are holding their invisible part in place. And, of course, if you don't know, you can change that. If you don't know that it's mutable, then you're going to think what you see is what you get. And I know that when I was younger, it's like, how I felt was how I felt. And I feel completely different now than I did when I was growing up. And when I was growing up, I had huge amounts of pain inside me. But I didn't even know that that was abnormal. It was like I was walking around and my shoulders were tight, my breathing was shallow. And I took it for granted that this is what it's like to be alive. And it's only after a huge amount of processing that I've been able to release some of those things. And some of you may be carrying some of those kinds of things and start to feel like this is who you are. And it's hard to believe that that could change or that you could be more than that. And part of my purpose in doing this call is trying to set a reference point that gives one the opportunity to have those kinds of changes. As I said, there's an energy on the call, and there's an energy that transcends the physical 3D energy. And there's an energy that, if you open to it, you can feel it. You can feel it as a movement inside your heart. You can feel it as a peacefulness. You can feel it as a radiant energy in your space. And by feeling that and experiencing that, you're learning a new reference point of how it feels to be you. Because, in a sense, what you're feeling on this call is you expanded. It's you, how you could be and how you could feel far more many hours of the day than one little short conference call. And the first step is to experience it on this call. Of course, this is not the only place to experience it, and I'm sure there's many other groups and many other meetings and people that are doing work that's in the same area as the work that I'm doing on this call. But we're doing it on this call, so that's my expression, it's my reference point, or our reference point. So if it works for you, then it's here. And if not, and something else works for you, it's there. But we all need these kinds of reference points. We need them because otherwise we're just in physical 3D, and what you see is what you get. And you start to live out dog-eat-dog, and you lose your ability to create from higher realms. And everyone has that potential ability. So I actually was thinking of talking a little bit this call, 7 or 8, on evolution via service to self and service to others. This is a concept that's been expressed through the Ra group soul that I've learned to identify as Ra. And the Ra group is composed of billions of individual souls that graduated from this realm. And according to the information I have, we have all gone through thousands and maybe thousands and thousands of lifetimes. Like a perennial flower with its root that every time it dies, it comes up again. It's got the same DNA. It looks like the same flower, slightly different. And so goes it with us. And that they're describing something that is called graduation, or finally getting beyond the need to be re-embodied to balance out the various out-of-balance circumstances that one has created over many lifetimes. It's as if there's a conservation of energy of the soul, and that for whatever we've done, we have to counterbalance it. And this is the idea of karma, to take the energy on what we've done and turn it around so it's cooled out, so it's not sitting with us, so that we're not creating the future based on how we events that we did in the past. That, in essence, we could look at the original cause of creation being chaos, and that chaos then organized itself through the intentions of millions of separate entities that became conscious and separated themselves out from chaos into this realm. Now, that's a complicated thing to begin to try to explain and have you believe. So let's maybe just go on. This is one of those things you take on faith, that maybe that's the way it worked. And right now, everything exists simultaneously, starting with the chaos. So we can dissemble ourselves back to chaos and recreate ourselves out of chaos right now if we can get all our patterns out of the way, our mind, our mental patterns, our hurts. Now, of course, that's far easier said than done, but that's the potential. The potential is to recreate yourself out of chaos. I always feel when I do these calls, I'm making my best attempt to do that, to recreate myself out of chaos in this moment talking to you. Because if I successfully do it, then you're going to have to do it too, because we're all tracking each other on this call. So in that recreation of ourselves from chaos, we now, during the course of this hour, are including each other in that recreation on our energy levels, on our invisible levels. We're including the energy of these group souls, the ones that I've identified as the Elohim group soul and the Ra group soul. And we are expanding so that not only do we include each other, but we include them so long as they want to be included, because they have free will, and they include us so long as they want to include us. Their criteria for including us is the highest good of all concerned and the intent of ourselves. Those of you that read a little bit of my story concerning the relationship with the voice that identified itself as the Council of Elohim, I remember when it first started happening, and I didn't have much money, and I was trying to make a relationship work, and I didn't have the money to make it work, and I asked them, I said, you know, I know this is important, couldn't you guys help me with the horse races? And they said that that would not be in my highest service for what was my highest role in this life. Now, at the time, I didn't understand it, but I do understand it now. If I had a source that I could say, help me with the horse races, or help me win the lottery, and then I was doing this conference call, and you guys now knew that that was happening, I'd be getting calls all week. Hey, can you help us with the horses? Can you help us with the lottery? And suddenly, my role is totally defocused. It becomes a role that says, I'm going to help everybody make money, including myself, because that's where happiness lies. And suddenly, I would be thinking about what I was doing in a different way. So that was not in my highest good to have happen. Working with these group energies, one needs to really clearly refine their intent. And there's an evolutionary process taking place that happens over many, 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 many lifetimes, which is finally getting yourself out of the way and being able to holographically anchor these energies right from the center of the universe through ourselves and into the earth. This is basically the most simple derivation of everything we say, everything, where these teachings are. Because once you can do that, you are now essentially a walking prayer. Wherever you go, you change the vibrational space where you are anchoring the energy from very, very high dimensions through your body and into the planet, and you are changing the vibrations of the people around you. So, it's very simple, except it's not, because you can't do it by wanting to do it. You can't do it by willpower. It's a matter of intending it and then getting out of the way. Learning about yourself deeply enough so that you can start to perceive the parts of yourself that block this from happening. Start to heal those parts by whatever method works for you so that these higher energies can flow into it. Now, we have the very rare experience here of being able to verbally communicate with those energies and to clarify things. And when I say we have the ability, I don't directly have that ability. But for whatever reason, they have chosen to communicate to me through people that I've been closely involved in and with. And so, it makes, not only do I have access to this information, but it makes for a very unusual story, because there's a certain credibility that attaches itself to the manner in which it's happening for me. If it was just me talking to them, it would be far harder to put this into the world. So having it happen the way it's happening makes it more accessible. And they're very smart. They want things to be accessible. And they, as smart as they are, they need humans, and we need them. And actually, need is not necessarily the right word, because we don't need them, and they don't need us. Except our realm does not grow and expand without their energy beaming into it. So, if we want to have a world that doesn't expand, if we want to have another group of thousands of lifetimes in the future, where it would be like this, where we come in each time and we know nothing, and we wonder every lifetime, you have to rediscover this truth of how things work. And if you don't happen to rediscover it, and if you happen to get involved with the wrong people, and you happen to buy into a lower level of reality, which is so tempting on this realm, then you're caught up again for another whole myriad of lifetimes. So this is a fairly exceptional and unusual circumstance to be able to have a direct connection verbally and energetically with these group souls. And at 7:19, what we usually do at the end of these calls is call in the light. And this is the invocation to actually put the energies together about what we've just been talking about. Many of you have felt the energies while I was talking. And some of you are thinking about it and considering it and wondering if it's true. And I welcome that, and I hope you'll continue to consider that. And I hope you'll, again, continue to study the website. And I'll give you the two websites, theinsidescoop.org, theinsidescoop.org, and the other website is higher-vision.org. And you'll find a whole bunch of channelings, particularly on the Higher Vision website, that give you an idea of the actual experience I've gone through to bring me to the kind of understanding that I'm expressing on this call. So, on this note, we're going to call in the light, and we're going to create that energy, and you all will have the opportunity to put something into that energy for the highest good of all concerned. And many people that have done this have had some kind of very positive result as a result of doing it. Or a positive result, I guess I'm using result twice. The writer in me says you shouldn't use a word twice, but there I did it. I can't think of a substitute word, so Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in this flow of energy that's in the invisible realms, flowing from the center of our galaxy through our solar system, through the outer perimeters of the Earth's energy, through our own bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And now, we voluntarily, if you so choose, out of your free will choice, intend to combine with each other, just for a moment, for the highest good of all concerned, to bring our energies together in the other dimensions as one group energy. And now we invite those positive group souls on the other side, in these invisible realms, to join with us and so now we have a huge group energy that we are creating. We are actually creating this energy as an interface between the invisible realms through the veil and through our consciousness onto this planet. Now, as we have this energy, I'd like each of you to expand this energy into your home environment. Now I'd like you to send this energy to think of someone you know that could use it. Somebody that's a little bit sad, somebody that might be sick, somebody that's going through a hard time. And in your mind's eye, see this energy transmuting from this huge reservoir we've created through your soul to their soul, again, for the highest good of all concerned. Now we send this energy to Peru, to the earthquake there, to Mother Earth, underneath the surface of the Earth. To the people going through struggles. We send it to the souls of those people who passed. We are molding this group energy by our high intent. And we are becoming co-creators of the universe, co-creators and partners with these higher forces, these group soul energies. on that note, we're going to finish this call at 7:26. We're going to finish it on BBS, but we're going to continue it on the phone line. Those of you that listened in and are interested in participating during the week on our call, if you felt an energy and you'd like to see if there's something to it, you can go to the website, theinsidescoop.org, and there's a button to click for an email, and just request that you'd like the schedule of the conference calls during the week, and you'll get them in your email, plus the phone numbers. And the people that are on the telephone line right now, of course, we're doing a simulcast. We're going to continue for a while longer and do the personal sending of the light requests. And right now, we will say goodbye to our PBS listeners and continue.